Good morning. Welcome to Broad Ministries, a Christian church with worldwide impact. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. At Broad Ministries, our God is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we make a difference by teaching the Word of God from God's perspective and not from man's perspective. Today's Bible lesson, what's your choice? What's your choice? The theme is the same about every year at this time, so it seems cliche. But where did the year go? It seems like just yesterday when we were saying Happy New Year, and now we're saying it again as we usher in the Anno Domini, the year of our Lord 2019. So how was your year? As I ask you the question, I'm thinking of things I've seen this year. A student of mine died on a plane on his way home from a workshop. A friend of mine started the year happily married and is ending the year going through a bitter divorce. Several of my friends are out of work. And as a result, they're thinking they're worthless because their self-worth and their employment status are Siamese twins. I've always thought that life boils down to a series of choices. All of us have volition, defined as the ability to choose. And I've been of the opinion that when our decisions are added up, it determines our destiny. So at this time of the year, I stop to reflect on the choices I'm making to see if they're consistent with the destiny I want. However, that lie, that lying approach, doesn't include God. That's a natural man's look at things. That's the if it's to be, it's up to me life viewpoint. What's true, especially for believers in Christ, is that our God is transforming us. He has a personal, supernatural plan for each of us. And while our will, our volition, certainly factors into the plan, the absolute truth is that our God is conforming us to His image. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says this, "For those whom God the Father foreknew," and that's believers in Christ, "He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ." My friend who died this year was allotted a number of days by God. He wasn't going to be on the planet one more day or one fewer day than God had decided a billion years ago. He had a congenital heart condition. He had choices in the matter of how he handled that condition with the medical community. Yet God factored in his decision in the allotment of days. There were decisions my friend controlled, but the ultimate decision about his longevity was in God's hands. My friend who is going through a divorce loves his wife, and he wants his family, but he can't make the woman he loves want to stay. He can't make her love him back. My friends who don't have jobs right now did certain things that contributed to them being without work. Yet whether or not their company retained them was not up to them. Now they have to get ready for the next challenge God will provide in the career realm. What's your choice? In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, the Lord commands us, "Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves." Or, "Do you not recognize this about yourselves? That Jesus Christ is indwelling you, unless indeed you fail the test?" I don't think the habit of a once-a-year examination is enough. I don't think the habit of examining ourselves only when things are tough is enough. What's your choice? The world is about to take us through an examination of the year, a look back on what happened, the year in review. And most notably, we'll see a list of all the celebrities who died this year. And even though I'm not a celebrity, I'm hoping I didn't make the list. As a matter of fact, as I was looking at the list today, one of the people who died this year is Roy Clark. And I was really glad that there wasn't an extra R in that Roy part. Do you remember him from Hee Haw? Roy Clark? Yeah. Say again. I have plus R, so I'm not really worried. But I'm not looking forward to the plus R going into the Roy Clark died. So I can guarantee that none of the people on that list planned to be on that list this time last year. So as we wrap up the year and begin the next, what's your choice? What is it that you want to be true about your life at this time next year that is not true now? I've always chosen to live an intentional life. When we make choices, we articulate intention. And what's most important as I see it is that God shows up in every one of our choices. That means God is at the center of our lives. And as we make every choice, we factor in His thoughts so that our choices for ourselves are the same choices that He would make for us. And my hope is that as you self-examine, whether once a year or with every decision, that the reality of your status as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ provides you with the truest measure of success. And the truest measure of success is peace of mind. I hope you make the same choices for yourself that He would make for you. In today's lesson, we'll examine the wisdom of making every decision from a firm foundation, the foundation of Christ. Welcome to a place where you can learn to make your choices and to build your life on a spiritual foundation through your relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, what's in a name? Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "For this reason also, and the reason being that the Lord did not see equality with God the Father as a thing to be seized and held, God the Father highly exalted Jesus Christ and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name." There's a lot in a name. Let's hear June Murphy sing about the name that is above every name in her song, "Come See a Man."
For most of my life, I felt like a woman of ill repute. For the things that I've done and what was done to me, I felt I was of no use. Like the Jesus, alone looking for a drink. I'd been looking for love in all the wrong places, helpless, needy, and weak. But since I've come, faith and grace alone, I will proclaim this invitation to the world, to all I know, and I will sing, "Come see a man who knows all about me, who knows what In Christ there is therefore now no condemnation. From the power of sin and death I have been freed. All the guilt and shame I carried from my past was nailed with Christ to the tree. And I know that everything that has happened to me has passed through the Father's hands. And He was faithful and just to allow it all as part of His master plan. And He is not ashamed of me. I am His child. He calls me His own. And I belong to my beloved Savior. And from Him I will never ever roam. And I'm telling you that I know a man who knows all about me, who knows what I've done and the love that I need. I know a man that won't leave or forsake me, who died
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to live another year. Thank you for allowing us to live another day. Thank you for all the gracious provisions you have given to sustain us. Thank you for helping us to grow. Thank you for giving us a series of experiences designed for our benefit, each of them purposed to help us to come closer to you. Thank you for sending your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to live for us, to die on a cross for us, and to come back from the dead for us. Help us as we reflect on the year gone by to see it as you see it. Help us to see your mighty hand in everything we have done. And as we move into the new year, show us how to make decisions for our lives that are totally consistent with obedience to you and in line with what you want for our lives, things exceeding and abundantly beyond anything we could ever ask or think. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Today's Bible lesson, what's your choice? What's your choice? Are you in the faith? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 asks you to test yourselves to see if you're in the faith, to examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is indwelling you, unless indeed you fail the test? Well, in a sense, you are in the faith. God placed you there. He's given you the gift of faith. How are you using the gift? God intends for us to use the gift by recognizing who we are in union with Him. You see, he's indwelling us, and that gives us a power that is supernatural. But do you think of yourselves that way? That's going to be a big emphasis for me personally as a pastor next year, is to continue to remind you who you are in Christ, and that you should use that supernatural power in every choice. He is the cornerstone of our life's foundation, and every one of us are his living stones. There is a crisis coming in your life. Will you be ready for it? If your life is built on a firm foundation, you will be ready. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, the Lord Jesus Christ says there are two foundations. Matthew 7, 24, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who has built his house on the rock. Matthew 7, 25. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet the house did not fall, for the house had been built on the rock. Matthew 7, 26. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Matthew 7, 27. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell. And great was its fall. What is the foundation of your life? In the matter of salvation, for example, there are two paths, the sand and the rock. Believers in Christ are ready for the coming crisis because our houses are built on the rock. The Lord Jesus Christ is the rock. The Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation of life. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, the cornerstone of which is Jesus Christ. As believers in Christ, we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as the foundation of our lives. At the moment of salvation, God made us new. What is true of those who are made new? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us, when anyone is in union with Christ, and all believers in Christ are, he is a new creation. The original things died. Behold, all things have been made new. We are a new creation without a trace of the original creation. So when I hear believers in Christ talk about how they're broken, you are not broken. You are absolutely righteous. And so it's okay to describe your feelings, but don't forget who you are in Christ. The old man is dead. We're alive with a resurrection life in union with Christ. So as we inspect our lives, God wants us to do certain things that aptly reflect him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. Therefore, putting aside, that is, making a break with all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and all envy and all slander, 1 Peter 2:2, instead, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word. In other words, truth, not deceit. So that by learning the truth, you may grow in respect to your salvation. Believers in Christ are commanded to grow spiritually while laying aside the sins of the past. 1 Peter 2:3, if you believers in Christ have tasted the kindness of the Lord, and of course you have, the Lord is delicious, and so is his word. 1 Peter 2:4, and as you believers in Christ habitually come to the Lord, realize you are coming to a living, life-giving stone, which has been rejected by natural men, unbelievers. But this stone, Christ, is choice and precious in the sight of God the Father. Through your union with Christ, you are precious to God the Father as well. 1 Peter 2:5, you also, as living stones, in other words, you are chips off the old block, you are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up, that is, to present yourselves as spiritual sacrifices. You remember that from Romans 12, acceptable to God the Father through your union with Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:6. For this is contained in Scripture, behold, I, God the Father, lay in Zion a choice stone. Zion is Israel. A precious cornerstone. The support on which everything in a building rests. And he who believes in the precious cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ, will not be disappointed. Believers in Christ are saved, and we have eternal security. And I think this analogy of the building and the stone and the cornerstone is really perfect, because there are so many variations that you can take on it. There, architects know that when they're building a house, there's a load wall, and that load wall takes all the weight of the house. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The cornerstone takes all the load of the house. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And all direction goes from that cornerstone. All guidance goes from that cornerstone. That cornerstone informs everything that happens in that house to make that house a firm foundation. And we are the living stones. 1 Peter 2:7, the precious value, the Lord Jesus Christ then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, unbelievers, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone. 1 Peter 2:8, and it became a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Unbelievers stumble because they're disobedient to the word. They're disobedient to the gospel message. They reject Christ. And to this doom, eternal condemnation in the lake of fire, they were also appointed for rejecting a relationship with Christ. So there are two paths, the believing path and the unbelieving path. What's your choice? At the center of every human choice is Christ. Will you obey him or disobey him with your choice? Believers in Christ have obeyed the gospel message. For unbelievers in Christ, unbelievers in the Messiah, it's something they stumble over. They ignore a relationship with him. You know, if you can see the graphic and you're watching the lesson, we have an example of a cornerstone. And the cornerstone is that part of the building that takes on the whole load. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ becomes, for unbelievers, the rock of offense. Every cornerstone has a jutting part of it, a part that sticks out. And anyone who rubs against it gets cut to pieces. So when we call Jesus the rock of offense for unbelievers, he is jutting out and he cuts them to pieces when they rub up against him. He who was intended for salvation becomes the one who inflicts wrath on those who choose to reject him. It has never been God's desire, nor will it ever be God's desire, that any creature go to hell. But some people choose to do it. So an analogy connecting us to life, the resurrection life, has three parts. The cornerstone is Christ. He's the load-bearing wall. The living stone are believers in Christ. We help build the building. And the stumbling block is what Christ is to unbelievers. They trip over him, and they don't recognize him as who he is, the Lord and Savior. Why is the Lord a stumbling block for unbelievers? Without the Lord, unbelievers can do nothing. Anything they build is on sand. Without the Lord, believers in Christ can do nothing. We produce no fruit. You see, one of the things about me is that as a kid, I always paid attention to the fables that I was hearing. And one of them was the three little pigs. And I made a decision very early in my life that I was the third pig. And while all my friends were out building their house of sticks and building their house of straw and then going and horsing around and playing, I decided that I would work first, then play. And that was the message I sent to my kids, work first, then play. There's nothing wrong with playing. You know, a kid's soul is all folly. There's nothing wrong with playing, but work first, then play. Let work be first. Get this thing in you kids that's called work ethic. work. And it's funny how, even at an early age, I could see the people who had rejected that whole idea. Not good to reject that idea. So when we return from the 5-minute break, we'll reflect more on our foundation, Christ, and we'll think about how to attack the new year. Take a 5-minute break. Today's Bible lesson, what's your choice? Well, welcome back. I can offer you a quiz as you contemplate where your life is heading. What's your choice in the matter of your spiritual life? I mean, do you actually set aside time for your spiritual life every day? What's your choice in the matter of how you use your time? You have 168 hours a week. You sleep 56. It leaves 112 hours. How do you use it? What's your choice in the matter of your health? When's the last time you had a physical exam or a blood test? What's your choice in the matter of how you develop yourself? And for you older folks in the health matter, by the way, when's the last time you had a colonoscopy or an endoscopy? What's your choice in the matter of how you develop yourself? What expertise do you add to yourself each year? What's your choice in the matter of your career? Do you like your current job? And if not, what are you doing to get a job that you want to go to more than they want you to come? What's your choice in the matter of a companion? And having a companion is more not finding the right person, but being the right person. What's your choice in the matter of your family? What's your choice in the matter of how you use the resources at your disposal? What's your choice in the matter of your finances? In addition, consider this. Where are the lies in your life? In what ways are you allowing yourself to be deceived? In what ways are you allowing yourself to live a deception? Well, in light of the fact that God's will be done, what changes do you have to make to your life? And I hope that you see how important it is to ask yourself questions. Because if you ask yourself questions and you tell yourself the truth, you'll really see how your life is. You know, there are a lot of people who think that people can't change. I am not one of those people. I think people change all the time. It's just, what decisions do you make about the matter of changing? Well, in light of the fact that God's will be done, what changes do you have to make in your life? Here's Hillary Scott with her song, reminding us, Thy will be done.
I'm so confused. I know I heard you loud and clear, so I followed through. Somehow I ended up here. I don't wanna think, I may never understand, that my broken heart is a part of your plan. When I try to pray, all I got is hurt and these four words. Bye.
Hillary Scott with Thy Will Be Done. Today's Bible lesson, what's your choice? What's your choice? The triangle is the strongest structure in the universe. In three-dimensional form, a triangle is a pyramid, and it's not a coincidence. It's just one more thing in nature that points to God. We have a triune Godhead, one God and three separate and distinct persons. God the Father on one side, God the Son on another side, God the Holy Spirit on the other side, and there is the physical manifestation of the Godhead, the uniquely born one, God the Son incarnate in human form, the God-man, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 100% God and 100% man and one person forever. And I think the Lord Jesus Christ is the reflection of the face of that triangle. Now, when building a pyramid, the foundation is the cornerstone. And anything we build with our lives needs to start with Christ, or it's destined to crumble. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, that's Jesus Christ, the one who is, the one who was, and the one who is to come. I am the Almighty. Jesus Christ has always existed, and there never was a time that he didn't exist, and there never will be a time when he doesn't exist. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 5, give us another analogy to look at. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am the true vine, and my God, the Father, is the vine dresser. John 15, 2. Every branch in union with me that does not bear fruit, God the Father takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. John 15, 3. You are already clean. He's talking to his disciples here. You are already clean as believers in Christ because of the word, the gospel message, which I have spoken to you and you believed in. So here's his advice. John 15, 4. Abide in union with me and I indwelling you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in union with me. John 15, 5 is the big conclusion. I am the vine. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am the vine. And you, believers in Christ, are the branches. He who abides in union with me and I indwelling him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Another great analogy. God the Father is the vine dresser. He is the person who owns the entire vineyard. There's a beautiful picture of a vineyard in the video. The Lord Jesus Christ is the vine, and the believers in Christ are the branches, and God the Holy Spirit is the sap that produces the fruit in believers. And so if you think about your life, is it producing fruit? Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 tell us the fruit that God the Holy Spirit is producing in us. The fruit of God the Holy Spirit is unconditional love, joy, and peace in yourself, the kind of peace that surpasses comprehension, patience, kindness, and goodness toward others. Galatians 5:23, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in your relationship with God. Against such virtues, there is no law. Everything in a Christian's life is a result of the abundant life gifted to us by God. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief, Satan, comes only to steal and kill and destroy the sheep. When Satan makes recommendations to you about disobeying God, he's doing that simply to kill you. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, came that the sheep may have the resurrection life, eternal life, and have it abundantly. That's the wonderful thing about our relationship with God. He gives us life. He pours his life, that resurrection life, into us so that when we fail, we always know that we're going to come back from the dead. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22 say this, so then you believers in Christ are no longer strangers and aliens as unbelievers are, but you are fellow citizens with all the saints, and you are of God's household. Ephesians 2:20. having been built as living stones on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Ephesians 2:21, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in union with the Lord. Ephesians 2:22, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God the Father by the agency of the indwelling God, the Holy Spirit. Believers in Christ in the church age are indwelled by the entire Trinity. There's no reason for us to ever feel inferior as believers in Christ. But do you? Do you get sucked in by the thief who wants you to feel lousy about yourself when you're a king and a priest and an heir of a king, a child of God, in union with Christ, with absolute righteousness, the admission ticket to heaven? Believers in Christ in the church age are indwelled by the entire Trinity. No reason to ever feel inferior. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we're commanded to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, the desires of your heart, will be added to you. You have a God who wants to give you the desires of your heart. Are you expressing it? Are you telling him what the desires of your heart are? What's your choice? 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 says this: he who has a relationship with the Son has the resurrection life, the divine life, eternal life. And he who does not have a relationship with the Son does not have the resurrection life. Instead, that person has a life of spiritual death. This is the last lesson of the year, and it's a good time to check your choices. Are they built on the foundation of Christ, the only foundation that has ever been laid? Are they built on the rock? This is a great time to make the decisions that will propel you through 2019, helping God to deliver everything you dream of and more. That's exactly what God wants to do. Do you dream big enough? The precious cornerstone, Jesus Christ, is inviting you to use his supernatural power on your toughest challenges. What's your choice? I want you to know also, as we close out the year, that God wants you. And what he wants is for you to make the most important decision of your life. So if you do not have a personal relationship with the sovereign God of the universe, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we want you to know that God wants you. Here are seven things for you to investigate as you consider a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Point one, there is a God, and he is the creator of the heavens and earth. There is a God, and he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. The first four words of the Bible confirm his existence. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God." In Joel chapter 2, verse 27, he says, "I am the Lord your God, and there is no other God." Bold statements from an amazing God. John chapter 1, verse 3 says, "All things came into being through the Lord, God the Son, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being." Therefore, point two, God created you. You are one of God's creatures, and he was purposeful in creating you. You are not an accident. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Then God the Father said, let us," meaning God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, "make man in our image and according to our likeness." Point three, God has a plan for mankind. Why? Because God is organized, and he laid out his plan for all mankind in eternity past. Acts chapter 2, verse 23 says, "Everything happens by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God the Father." Point four, God has a personal plan for you. With God, everything is personal. He knows you intimately because he created you. He custom made a life specifically for you. Matthew chapter 10, verse 30 says, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." The very hairs of your head are all numbers, are all numbered. Point five, God reveals himself in ways that make sense to human beings. God wants you to know him. So anyone who says God works in mysterious ways doesn't know squat about God at all. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says this, "For since the creation of the world, the Lord's invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature keep on being clearly seen by everyone, being understood even through what has been made, as reflected in the things of nature, so that all mankind are without excuse in the matter of knowing of the existence of the Lord." Point six, you owe God a hearing. Since God created you, you at least owe him a hearing. He has planted in you a desire to know the things that are bigger than you and your life, and the thing that's bigger than you and your life is him. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 says, "The Lord has made everything appropriate in its time, and he has also set a knowledge of eternity in everyone's heart." From the inside of you, you will wonder what people mean when they say God. Point seven, God has an enemy, Satan, who does not want you to get to know God. This is the thing that's always surprising to people, that God has an enemy who doesn't want you to get to know him. Satan blinds the mind of unbelievers. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says this, "The god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." And so there is clearly a God. But like an eclipse, Satan obscures the sun. He doesn't want you to take advantage of the free gift of salvation offered to you by God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you would do well to think about how enemies operate, because the enemy of your salvation operates in very predictable ways, and it's obvious that he wants you to miss out. Start your new year off right by getting into a relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3 reminds us that God doesn't want anyone in the lake of fire. The Lord is not slow about his promise of salvation, as some accuse him of. But instead, he's patient towards you unbelievers, not wishing for any of you to perish in the lake of fire, but for all of you to come to a repentance, which is a change of mind about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 12, "But whosoever received him, to them the Lord Jesus Christ gave the right to become children of God the Father, even to those who believe in Jesus Christ's name. Therefore, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes." That's Acts 16:31. John chapter 3, verse 36 says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life right at that moment, but he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the resurrection life, that abundant life that Christ wants you to have. Instead, the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him." John chapter 3, verse 17, "God the Father did not send God the Son, the Lord, into the world to judge the world, instead that the world might be saved through believing in him." Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among man by which we must be saved except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." It is God's intention that you see his hand operating in everything in your life. Well, here's Toby Mack noticing God's hand in his song, Everything.
I'm captivated, I say it, I'm on a whole new retreat. My space invaded, upgraded, I hear you talking to me. It's in the boom of the thunder, it's in the cool of the rain. And I'll say, I don't ever want to get away. Tonight is beautiful, it's got my mind on you. And everywhere I turn is a reminder.
I see you. soul's awakened, taken by all the beauty you bring. You got it blaring, staring, love watching you do your thing. There's no mistaking your style, no mistaking your touch. I see the grand, I see the subtle of your love. Lord, I see you in everything, all day. And every beat of my heart keeps reminding me. I see you in every little thing, all day. No matter where I go, I know your love is finding me. It's finding me in everything, all day. And every beat of my heart keeps reminding me. I see you in every little thing, all day. No matter where I go, I know your love is finding me.
Just makes you want to dance. Want to get up and get down and get funky. Yeah, you know June will always do that. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we just thank you for putting the entire Trinity in us here in the church age so that we have a chance to be a reflection of you, and let this be a year where when people look at us, they say that they can see us, they can see you in us. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Happy New Year, and thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.